Tom E. Kern.
I can do it.
Oh, you can do it?
Yeah, he can.
Okay.
Do it.
Tommy Kern on the Harbor One hotline. Tommy there? Oh, there he is.
Here I am.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
How are you? Are you in Orlando, obviously, right?
I am.
Okay. You take some time to go to Disney World?
No, this is work, man. This is straight flipping work. I hit some balls one time.
I love it. Like, you bring your clubs. You bring your clubs this time, though?
I always bring my clubs.
Oh, God.
I don't bring I throw everything into my golf travel bag just in case. And oftentimes, I don't even use the clubs.
So how's it been down there? I feel like, you know, the first coaches meeting, you know, off-site coaches meeting where Bill has not been there. It's been mixed reviews here back at home, first with Gerard Mayo, today with Robert Kraft. Just your general observation of after talking to both guys.
They just don't know what they're going to be. And I think that we're seeing a creeping embrace of the uncertainty and not acceptance, but a realization that they're not going to be very good. And I think you can read that between the lines in some of the things that they're saying. And you can polish that, if you like, and try and look on the bright side of things. And Robert Kraft said this morning that he's an eternal optimist. But I really, truly think that we would look back on this in 2028 or so, and the chances are extremely high that we're going to look back and say, wow, that was a tough year, man. I'm not saying that it's not going to work in 2025, 26, 27, or that this regime is doomed. All I'm saying is they are up against it. And I think it's starting to dawn on them. I mean, they are Siberia in terms of a location and destination, and they are Rome after the fall degree
is
where they are.
Hard to get happy after that answer. Anyway, yesterday.
It is what it is. So you can look and say, hey, there's only one way to go.
It's all up from here. Tom, what was your response? I think it was like five times yesterday. Gerard Mayo used some form of the phrase, the Krafts have given us the ability to sign big contracts, do what we need to do, do what we want to do, whatever. He kept going back to it, and he kept saying again. What was your takeaway from that? Is that just how he feels? Was he sort of passing along a message that maybe somebody asked him to pass along? Was it in reference to the cheap words that have been thrown around this offseason early in free agency? What did you make of that?
I made of that it's the driving conversation right now, and it has been for a while. I mean, we spent time at last year's owners' meetings grilling Robert Kraft about spending as well. And at that point, Robert Kraft said for, I don't know where on the number of times it was, but I have never told Bill that he can't spend on a player. And I truly believe that to be the case. However, I think that Bill, Christian, you can speak to this as well. Bill was extremely frugal, economically sound, and used contracts and money and as a way to maintain authority in a very effective way. And he understood how contracts work in the locker room, the chemistry of them, and the planning necessary to keep the team cycling through. So Robert had good cover for a long time with Bill doing that. And now that Bill's not here and spending isn't there, it's deflecting more and more to Robert, who can only say they can spend what they want whenever they're here. Now, I will say this again. Do you remember the Patriots, Andy, you do, Christian, you don't. In the late 90s, Kraft could not throw enough millions at players.
Yep.
Couldn't stop himself. Bill came in and said, we're going to cut the crap with that, and we're going to start the season with like 48 guys on the roster because you're in cap jail because you paid everybody.
Yep.
So it's interesting to watch all of this unfold.
So we're talking to Tommy Kern live from Orlando. Mickey Mouse's neighborhood. I can't believe you're not going to go to the unhappiest place on the face of the earth. But I'm sure Dan Roach is down there, and I'm sure he'll end up going there. Maybe he'll invite you there.
With your ear-to-ear smile with the Mickey Mouse ears on and everything.
Oh, my God. I can't. I hate Disney World. So, you know, even Andy was talking about this whole one voice, the one voice that we got with Bill for so many years. I'm wondering if they – they all kind of reconvene and when they all get back to Foxborough and kind of talk about, you know, hey, let's get our ducks in a row so we all say the same thing about the same things.
That's a great observation that I hadn't really even thought of, because there are a lot of different – look, I don't think that Mayo really is – he wants to kind of move, it feels to me, in conversation. That's an Elliott decision. That also is an Elliott decision. The 20 open roster spots, that's an Elliott decision. They hired me to coach, to be a leader, to implement some chemistry and values that will appeal to younger players. I'm intending to do that. But Elliott's in charge of the roster, so let him answer that stuff. But they have, but Elliott's not here. So you can't have one voice and say, well, the coach can't talk about this stuff. So he does end up speaking about it. And I think he did okay with doing that, but the rawness is kind of apparent. Again, it's this stuff has been thrown together. They did not expect Bill to go 4-13. They did not expect to have to pull the plug on Bill. When they realized the team wasn't getting any better, was actively getting worse, that a first-round pick quarterback had been ruined, that all the free agents from 2021 didn't work out, and they had to reboot again, they accelerated the process. But in accelerating it, they moved on to something that they have, you know, spackled together.
Tom, one of the points that Robert brought up or was asked about was the dynasty, obviously, and he said he wished it had been a little bit more positive, and he talked about some of the Super Bowls and all those things. Can we put a bow on that? And to your knowledge, how much say did Robert Kraft have over the dynasty and what actually made its way to Apple TV?
I don't think he had any kind of editorial control where he said to them, hey, try and make Bill look bad. I think that the dynasty producers, Matt Hamachek and the other folks involved, you know, Ron Howard, the production team who financed it, they wanted to tell a story that would appeal to people nationwide. And that meant you were going to leave out things that appealed to folks locally. The untold stories of the Patriots, the Aaron Hernandez stuff. Now, I would absolutely say that Robert Kraft did not do an outstanding job of crediting Bill Belichick and saying, look, I empowered him to make these decisions, and we benefited greatly from it all the way through. Would I do it again? Probably, all the way through. Would I do the Brady thing again? Probably, because Bill earned that in 2018, the way he, you know, that team performed. So I deferred to him. I made the decision. Would I do it again? Yes. And he didn't say that enough. So it more became, I think, over the course of time, Robert bristling at, it's Tom and Bill, and I'm not getting anything, and I'm the one who kept them together. And this was his star turn to do that. But he didn't understand how it would be framed by editors. Andy, you and I, and Kristen, you too. You sit there and you talk to people in interviews and you get something you didn't expect that you think is juicy. You're not going to put that on the cutting room floor or not type it into your laptop in order to explain something that's informative but not nearly as juicy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Apple TV people did.
Just going back to Mayo also, and again, we're talking to Tommy Kern on the Harbor One Hotline. I am curious to see when he kind of, I don't know, not walks back comments, but kind of reverts back to the Mayo that was a player that didn't talk, that kind of just gave you the one word answer before he was a superstar on Quick Slants. I wonder if he changes his tune. I feel like because I know he doesn't want to be anyone but himself, but I just keep going back to, man, you don't have that luxury anymore. You know,
no,
like Curran can't edit it out for you. Curran can't save you is what I would tell him.
Yeah, and I think he needs to be reminded of that and explain that, you know, because it's different when you're on Quicksands. I wasn't saving them. It was just people saying, oh, yeah, that's the Patriots former linebacker talking on that show with Curran, the grab-ass Quicksands show. Now it's, hey, that's the guy who used to be a linebacker who succeeded Bill Belichick and is running a $6 billion franchise. So the level of expectation for polish and succinctness is different. I think he has definitely improved from his opening press conference. I think his answers are succinct. They ask a question, he answers a question, he doesn't start wandering around in the wilderness. But he's not a finished product, and he has to understand that he works for the most, and I'm sure he does, but the parsing of the words and the way, because a team is right now dealing with adversity, is different. It's a different media climate than anywhere else in the country. And it's different because of the success it enjoyed. So the way your words are going to be parsed, used against you, are far different. And everything about you is going to be scrutinized and used against you, whether it's your experience, whether it's your business background, whether it's the way you
think,
talk.
You think that'll happen with – because I think Mayo – now, I'm speaking from an outsider looking in, especially with the media. I've never seen the media more happy than when they get to sit down with Mayo, because he answers questions. He's open about making sure you guys get everything you need. I'm curious, you know, how much criticism you guys give him early on. I'm interested to see how easy reporters are on him, because there is this whole narrative that he is a first-time head coach. We all loved him as a player. He was great as an assistant coach. He was great on quick slants. I wonder how much you guys will be critical of him. And I say you guys, I mean all the media.
Yeah, I certainly think that I just in my last answer was critical to a large extent of – I've been very critical, actually, in this entire conversation. So, but I think that the audiences will always phrase and interpret responses from people as they want – people hear what they want to hear. So even though I have been – objectively discussing the guy, objectively discussing where the Patriots are and why they are where they are, people say, oh, well, Curran and Mayo used to work together. So if Curran doesn't kill Mayo, then he's not objective. So I think that people are attuned on the outside to hearing what they want to hear. So I don't think that people have been overly accepting of anything the Patriots have yet said. I think that they're, I mean, every question asked of spending, of the dynasty, of quarterback intentions, whatever, they've gotten it.
Yeah, I'll just speak for myself and say that I enjoy Jerod. I enjoy that he's a human being. I enjoy talking to him. And I've been critical of some of the missteps I think he's made. Like, I think burn some cash, whatever he intended to say there, it wasn't a great start to his tenure, either on this station or to lead into free agency. So I think a lot of people have actually critical of him when he has stepped in it a little bit, and he's a smart guy. He'll learn from those mistakes. Tom, why is Calvin Ridley not a Patriot? I feel like we've got a lot of muddy water in terms of taxes and girlfriends and wives.
What's the girlfriend?
And, like, why is Calvin Ridley not a Patriot?
Again, and that's something we talked about right at the outset. The Patriots have to confront the fact that they're Siberia, and Robert Kraft's blaming Calvin Ridley's girlfriend or using her as the prime motivator. I don't even know if he has a girlfriend. He might be married for all I know.
The text line has said it actually is a wife now.
He may have both.
The same person.
Maybe he misspoke.
Either way, lobbing it out there as the first reason is disingenuous. You can put it there at the end. You can say he didn't want to come to New England. And the fact of the matter is he didn't want to come to New England, but he sure as hell would have if he was Calvin Ridley in 2018 and Tom Brady was here. The guys want to come here. The Patriots, as Mayo alluded to, have no magnets. I love that phrase because it's true. And until they attract magnets, whether that be because they build around the position or because they draft a quarterback and they get to being a team that people don't want to play, they're going to be repellent to players who want to do well.
Well, I wonder if the magnet, one of the new magnets, could be the whole $50 million state-of-the-art workout facility that they're going to build, or the daycare situation that they're going to rectify. Like that was part of that player survey that I don't think Kraft was too happy about. Looks like he's listening, at least, to putting that money into those facilities.
Yeah, and again, he acted surprised.
Well, they don't like the workout room, which I think is ridiculous, but whatever.
I think he's a very, very good owner overall, and I know people have issues with the spending to a large extent. We discussed that already, but you can't, there's too many qualifiers that I'm hearing from Robert right now, i.e. the girlfriend, i.e. boy, I had no idea. Well, they were stuck last year too. And if you don't know, you're really attuned to going around the locker room. You need to go around the locker room even more, or somebody in the organization does, to get a pulse so that you don't get F's all over the board. You know, it's like when I'm watching Dynasty and I hear Robert say seven different times, you know, in 20 years, I never stepped in, but I did on this.
And then there was the dramatic music, boom.
But he stepped in. I mean, there were a lot of step-ins for a guy who didn't do a lot of step-ins. So, anyway.
All right.
That's how I feel about that. I mean, neither here nor there on the NFL player survey, but.
All right. Well, you've been pretty good today, even though you've been preoccupied with the golf courses out there. So we're going to let you go now so you can enjoy the sun, because we're freezing our butts up here. Thanks, Tommy Curran on the Harbor One Hotline.